This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to get a chance to be joined by the long-term CEO of the JPS Health Network in the greater Fort Worth, Dallas area, Robert Early. We're going to talk about COVID, what he's seen with vaccines, what he's excited about, where the efforts are focused, and a lot more. Robert, can you take a moment, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the JPS Health Network?
You bet. Scott, thanks a bunch. First of all, I think I'm probably the biggest enigma you've probably ever interviewed because my career is one of tainted past. I started out in the political world. In fact, I got elected to the Texas House of Legislature when I was 23 years old and stayed there for 11 years in my political career. And then I joined academia. I went to Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas, and taught at Texas A&M. And then a friend of mine called me and said, you really need to meet John Peter Smith. And I came up to the JPS Health Network. John Peter Smith was actually the first mayor of Fort Worth many, many, many years ago, philanthropically gave the land, which created the county hospital and the county hospital network for Tarrant County, which is basically Fort Worth, Arlington, and about 39 other cities, about a 1.8 population base. And so it's interesting because I became a CEO of a major health network, and I was probably the only guy in the room with no healthcare background. So the kind board took a chance. And 14 years later, I get to get interviewed by Scott Becker. How's that?
Well, talk to us about a few different things. You've got a fascinating part of your background, and I do want to talk about JPS, because JPS is this magnificent sort of system that people talk about, but sits a little bit in the shadow of some of these major, big, big systems, but does a magnificent job. But I do want to talk a little bit about your background. The politics in Texas right now, and there's no gossip, there's no nothing here, but it's a fascinating state to watch politically. I mean, right? I mean, it's a fascinating state. It leans red, but it's got some blue. It's sort of a mix. I mean, it must be a fascinating place to have been a politician to start a career as a politician in when it wasn't so quite as, oh God, as divided, as partisan as it is today. I mean, it must have been a fascinating time to be in politics before it got to be so brutal as it is today.
Yeah, I think it's a blood sport. I think it was more a team sport then. I think there was a lot more camaraderie, and I'm sad to see it. I served in the legislature from 1984 to 1995. So I had the opportunity to see Texas probably in a different light than it is today. And it's sad because I really advocate, both in politics and at JPS, pragmatic. It's be pragmatic. It's understand the issues, understand the problems. We get about 1.2 million patient encounters a year at JPS. And there's not a single one of those individuals that look the same, and not a single one of those persons that has the same challenges, problems. You have to look at the issues that face us in a pragmatic way. There is not a one answer fits all kind of approach. It doesn't work in healthcare, and it didn't work in a political arena. And unfortunately, I think there's too many people trying to do that.
Well, and what's really true is your patients aren't blue or red, they're people, and every single one of them is being taken care of. And I think that is a great, great perspective that you take to it. Every single one is an individual that needs to be taken care of. I just love that, Robert. The fascinating, this concept that it's team sport versus a blood sport, and it seems like it's become, you know, there was always this thought about, and you mentioned Enigma, but there was always this thought about politicians. But what's really happened today, it seems like, yes, there's true believers on each side, but you know that so much they're playing to their audiences versus, you know, when they get outside the TV screen, outside the audience, many of them are just normal people and talk to their colleagues on the other side very normally. But when they're on TV or they're in front of their donors, they so turn, you know, the vitriol on towards the other side that it becomes a very, it's an awful thing. It's so disingenuous, isn't it? Today, I mean, it's become much more of a blood sport, but it's almost a pretend blood sport. It's like watching pro wrestling. Some of these people can't believe what they say, and you know that they don't, because when they're in a room separately, they don't talk like that. But it's really a shame, isn't it?
Well, I think the thing that I learned, which starting in a political base was really helpful for me in healthcare, Because what you're trying to do in a political arena and what you're trying to do in the healthcare arena is get people to do something they may not naturally want to do. For example, we want better roads, we want better schools, we want a better economic development package. We want to have a vibrancy to our community. But sometimes the hard challenges to do that is not something naturally that people want to do. You have to figure out how do you efficiently spend money on schools. How do you do the infrastructure for a road system? It's the same thing in healthcare. We're trying to get people to do things that does not necessarily come natural to them, such as we want to help you with your diet. Part of the challenge with an issue as challenging as diabetes is we have the medical knowledge to help you with diabetes and we can make you better, but are we perpetuating a generational problem with diabetes if we don't address food deserts and we don't address the better means by which you eat and the diet that you survive on, and not just eating food of sustenance, but eating food that is healthy for you. And I sometimes I'd rather open a bag of chips and eat that than eat a salad, but I need you to eat the salad and I need you to eat more fresh fruit to deal with those issues. But yet if I live in a food desert, which is just outside of the shadows of many of our large buildings in our urban areas, I'm living in a food desert. I can't even get that food. So I think what you want to do in healthcare is very similar to my political beginnings, and that is trying to get people to better their lives through things that oftentimes are hard and challenging to do, but the rewards once seen are so much better. And that's why here at the JPS Health Network, we are putting such an emphasis on primary care and the need to figure out how to change a person's life.
And talk to us a little bit about JPS Health Network and maybe a few points of pride in the health network. Give us a couple things that you wake up and you're like, God, am I excited? We're trying to make this difference in people's lives. My God, we're really focusing on primary care. Talk a little bit about what you're most excited about and what fills you with pride. You've done this unbelievable job. I mean, you've 14 years as CEO of the same system. The average CEO, 10 years, a little bit better than an NFL running back, you know, 3 to 5 years. You've been at this for 14 plus. What an amazing job. Talk to us a little bit about a few of the points of pride in what you do and what you're most excited about.
Well, I appreciate it. We have 7,200 people that work at JPS, and there's not a better group of people that I'd rather stand next to. When I wake up every morning and I get to come into this health network, it is exciting because they're gifted and talented. I get all my healthcare here. My wife, my daughter, my mom, my dad, everybody gets their healthcare here at JPS because I believe in the system. Somebody told me, oh, you're the CEO. You probably don't want to get your healthcare at JPS. You know, people are going to find out about you, or you have to wear a gown where your rear end hangs out in the back. I don't care because it's the best care around and I enjoy it.
Let me just stop you on that for 1 second. I'm going to stop you on that for 1 second because we have said for a very long time the following, that you know a health system is bad when board members and leaders won't get their own health care there. That you know that health system has to merge, affiliate, get out of business if its own board members won't do their health care there. And we see that in different places throughout the country. The opposite is also true. We know it when the CEO and the board believe that it's the right institution with the right caregivers, the right providers to get their health care there, that's a really positive sign about an institution. So I just want to stop in it because I don't hear that often enough, and I think it's a great, great statement. But let me let you keep on going.
I think it goes, you know, you can be a network, particularly in healthcare or any other industry, where your rhetoric supersedes the reality of what you do. That's not the case here. There's a real reality to the providing of care that we do. And there's a lot of areas that we provide care, but if you look at the fact that we're a teaching hospital and we have over 250 residents that are part of pretty much every major discipline and we teach, so we bring doctors back to the community because they're taught here. We are strong for the economic development of our community, as well as the healthcare. We're also the only level one trauma center in Fort Worth and Tarrant County, and we're actually the only level one trauma center between here and Lubbock, Texas. And for your listeners that don't know that, it's a long way between Fort Worth and Lubbock, we're it. And then we have a huge specialization in mental health. So when you look at trauma care, decisions are made within seconds. The doors fling open and you do everything you can to save the life of a person who's the victim of a variety of things that they were not expecting. In mental health, it's just the opposite at the end of the spectrum. You're wanting a 40, 50 year partnership with somebody that's suffering from the challenges of mental issues that cause them not to be able to leave their house or to see things or hear things that are challenging that we try to get them through. And then from a primary care standpoint and our teaching standpoint, we have the largest family medicine program in the nation here in our residency program. So we're hitting so many of the elements of overall good healthcare. It's a great place to work. And one of the things that happened to us, 9 months ago, was the Washington Monthly Magazine selected us as the number one hospital in America for a variety of things, including our teaching capabilities, how we efficiently spend our money. And you said it, Scott, we're kind of the organization that people don't know. And we're not out for the name, but we do want people to realize that when you walk through our doors, whether you're the CEO or whether you're unfortunately found yourself in a condition of living under a bridge, we take care of you and we take care of everybody. I think it's really interesting that when the President of the United States travels through Fort Worth, Texas, we have Secret Service in the building because the President of the United States is going to get their care here should they need it while they're in this area. At the same time, we have a mobile unit that goes out to all of our patients who find themselves homeless. And to be able to hit that level of patient perspective makes you a better healthcare delivery system. And that is so amazing for us.
But I always think that's an amazing mark of a health system, one that could both play at the highest elite levels, but also take care of the safety net population. Is really the greatness in American healthcare that we strive for, one that can play at both levels, take care of both levels, and do so in a significant way. It really is one of the best-kept secrets in America, the JPS Health Network. We've just got a couple minutes left, Robert. Take a moment on, you've had this great leadership career. You have this multifaceted career, which just makes it, I think, even more fascinating. I also love the fact, like a true politician, when I ask you about politics, you're able to bring me back on message to healthcare, and I appreciate that very much. It's a tremendous discipline, quite frankly. Talk for a moment, Robert, about two or three tips you would give or a piece of advice you would give to people that want to be terrific leaders.
You know, we have three basic rules at JPS. Rule number one, and it's on every badge of everybody that walks and works at JPS. Rule number one is you own it. And the best description of that is the difference between a car you rent and the car you own. Nobody washes and waxes rent cars. If you own your car, you'll wash it and wax it every weekend. I want people that work here to realize this is the car they wash and wax. You own it. You own this place. You own its care. Rule number two is you have to seek joy. No one's going to be talking about spending their spring break next year at JPS, or I want to get my nails done, or I need to make a reservation at the JPS cafeteria. So we need to realize people are here because they have to be, oftentimes not because they want to be. And every employee should be smiling for themselves and should be smiling for everybody that walks in the door. I want every building to feel like comfort food. And rule number three is don't be a jerk. I think particularly in our times today, there is a quick fuse and a quick unfortunate nature of just going to the core of being mad. And part of that, when you're reaching out to touch somebody who has cancer, or you're trying to hope that the person that you put on the ventilator for COVID comes out of it, there's a giving and a caring that should never allow you to be a jerk. You don't get in people's faces. You don't cuss them out. You don't yell at them. You treat them with care. We do have critical conversations here. It's not just bliss and happiness at all times, but we're going to do it by owning this model. We're going to do it by smiling through the smile, and we're going to do it by not being jerks. And I think that's been a lasting aspect. You got to keep things fairly simple, and it's where would you like to get your health care? How would you like to be treated? And how do you want to be treated as an employee? And that's what we focus on.
So I love these concepts of own it, seek joy, and don't be a jerk. Because if you can focus on those three things, you've gone a long way towards doing what has to be done. I think that's a magnificent modern way to look at things. Robert, you've had this incredible career, and I think JPS is really one of the best kept secrets in America in terms of just so many things about it. We'd love to get a chance to visit with you again on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Well, what a great pleasure for us to visit with you, and how impressive what you've done and what JPS and your 7,200 people do there. Just fantastic.
Well, when you get to stand, and I would love to have you come down, and anybody who's listening is welcome to come see JPS. When you get to stand next to the people that I get to stand next to, just by osmosis, standing in the picture with them, you look better. So that's what I do.
Well, that's God bless. It's just fantastic. I wish they could make me look a little taller and a little thinner, but I'll just go with your word that it makes us feel better to be in the picture. Thank you very much.